Hello, everyone. Welcome to episode 73 of Beyond Diet Podcast, your ultimate guide to health and fitness. Hi, my name is Dan Rodriguez, and joining me today are authors Mira Calton and Jason Calton, authors of The Naked Calories. Welcome to Beyond Diet, you guys.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Now, Mira, you are a clinical nutritionist, correct?
Licensed, yes.
A licensed nutritionist. And Jason, you're a doctor.
Correct. I have a PhD in human nutrition.
Okay. This book, I got to tell you, when I got it, the name just really intrigued me. I mean, Naked Calories, you know?
That's what we're hoping.
What the heck is naked calories?
Right. I mean, immediately it begs the question, you know, how is a naked calorie created? So, you know, basically with food, food has two main functions, right? I mean, it carries with it its fats, carbohydrates, and proteins, and that's supposed to give us those are the macronutrients, and those give us our energy. And then they're also supposed to carry along with it the micronutrients, the vitamins, the minerals, the essential fatty acids, like, you know, the omega-3 we hear so much about. And so together, they basically comprise what is good about food. But recently, what's been happening is our micronutrients have been stripped away from that food. It's being stripped away from that calorie. And so we call that naked calories. And this can happen for a variety of different reasons.
I got it. Basically, you're talking about calories that don't have any nutrients, that have very little nutrients, correct?
Yeah. So what it is still giving you all those calories that can make you gain weight, but it's not going to deliver any of those, you know, health enhancing vitamins and minerals. They've been stripped.
Got it. Okay. Now, Mira, you've got an interesting story. You've got a special story about how Naked Calorie came about. Can you share that with us?
Sure. Well, I was 30. I was living in Manhattan and I was a publicist running around town thinking everything was just fine in my life. And I started to get backaches. And like so many people do, you know, you ignore it for a long time. I went to see the doctor finally, and at which point he sat me down with a very somber looking face and told me that I had the bone density of an 80-year-old woman.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I had advanced osteoporosis at the age of 30, and he wanted to put me on a whole slew of medications that basically I'd be stuck on for the rest of my life. And I just didn't want any of what he was trying to give me. So I decided to go sort of on a mission to try to find a more natural approach to try to reverse my own condition. And that led me to Florida, where luckily I ran into Dr. Calton, and who at that point we were obviously not married, but we started doing some research on my condition, and we found out that I wasn't eating correctly. I wasn't getting enough nutrients or vitamins and minerals in my diet, and I had a lot of really bad lifestyle habits that were further depleting these essential vitamins and minerals, and I was stripping my own body of these by filling my body with naked calories. And we did a lot of research. We found out that I was able to reverse it in only 2 years.
Wow.
Yeah, completely reversed. Fantastic. It's been 10 years now, so it's all good. And we found out that micronutrient sufficiency can not only reverse the disease, but it can also prevent other diseases at the same time.
Wow. Now, you know, everyone's heard of empty calories, you know, like junk food, like chips, cookies, and white breads and things like that. What is exactly a naked calorie?
Well, beyond the empty calorie, the naked calorie, you know, like you said, the empty calories really refer to those junk foods like the cookie and the white bread and everything that we know is bad for us. But a naked calorie can come in any form. Really, any food can have naked calories if they have their essential vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants stripped from it in some way. So, for example, it can be processed foods, but it can also be things like fruits and vegetables and our meats and our dairies, things that we think are good for us.
So basically some foods that we think that are healthy can have naked calories?
Sure. So for instance, let's say you've got you go out to the garden and you pick a tomato and you go in and you eat it. Well, that tomato's full of our micronutrients, of those essential vitamins and minerals. But let's say instead a farmer picked a tomato before it was ripe. And then he shipped it, you know, 1,000 miles across the country. And then they got to your grocer. And then they set it on the, you know, in the grocery store for a few days. And then you bought it. And then you cut it up and put it into a salad and put it in the refrigerator to eat a day later. Now, you see how the difference that tomato is not going to contain anywhere near as many micronutrients as the one that you picked from the garden and ate immediately.
Well, okay, that's kind of, that's pretty typical in the sense. I mean, that's something that I would imagine that something that's not fresh and that's been, you know, sitting at a store, that's going to be deficient in nutrients. What's something else that's not so obvious that's also naked?
Well, for example, a lot of the times we all think that, you know, the foods that, like, no matter how you buy your food, it's all the same. So beef is beef is beef, is chicken is chicken.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, it's not, it's just not the way it is. Right now, most of the food that you buy at the grocery store has been factory farmed. And that means that the cow is eating corn instead of grass. Now, a cow should be eating grass. That's its natural diet. But unfortunately, in factory farming, they're feeding it corn. Also, it's not going out and it's not getting any of the sun. It's just not living the life that a cow is supposed to be living. Now, that cow, because it's not eating grass, isn't going to have the same nutrient value as a cow that is eating grass. One great example is, like, for fat. Cows that eat grass have something called CLA, conjugated linoleic acid.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a fat that actually metabolizes fat. And that's a fantastic cancer-fighting fat. Now, the cow that eats the corn isn't going to have any of that. So that's another way that we're actually factory farming and we're actually creating naked calories in our own foods.
Oh, absolutely. Actually, I had the pleasure of interviewing the director of Food Inc., Robert Kenner.
And, fantastic.
It's really amazing. I mean, half the stuff that you see on the film, that's only the beginning of it. I mean, there's just so much that we're not even aware of that happens to our foods. I mean, people just don't question, you know, they don't question where their foods come from. And you really need to ask yourself, you know, it can look pretty in the store. It could look pretty in the packaging and everything. But you need to ask where the heck the food is coming from.
Well, think about how long people actually spend when they're going to, like, buy a car. They go out, they kick the tires, they drive all the different cars. They do a lot of research. But when's the last time you asked where your cow was from?
Yeah.
I mean, we go out to the farm on every weekend and we know our farmer. We see the cows, we see the pigs, we see the vegetables growing. But a lot of people just don't spend the same time that they do buying other things as they buy as they spend buying their food. They really need to spend more time looking at the foods that they eat because that's really what's going to keep them healthy.
Absolutely. I agree. In the book, you also mention soil depletion. Now, what role does soil depletion play in the whole naked calorie scenario?
Well, front and center. You know, it's just another – and here we're giving you all kinds of different ways that foods can be stripped or can become naked calories. And that's a real good one, the soil depletion. So, you know, what's happening is that we're over farming. Now, you know, we want to get not 50 bushels of corn, we not 100 bushels, but now 200 bushels of corn per acre. You know, we're being pushed and our farmers are being pushed to produce more food at a faster rate. And not to mention, you know, genetically modified plants now. Those genetically modified plants are genetically modified to grow faster and grow larger, but they're not absorbing any more nutrients out of the soil. And they're also robbing that soil at an accelerated rate. So you ask, what is overfarming or what is this soil depletion doing to our food? It's causing more naked calories. I mean, this is one of the major reasons we decided to, first of all, name the book Naked Calories, to start that term, and to start to explain to people that the more naked calories we eat or the more micronutrients that are depleted of our foods, this can become dangerous over time because micronutrient deficiency leads to all kinds of problems that we call today lifestyle diseases, but are really just micronutrient deficiencies.
I got to tell you, what I love about the book is that, first of all, it's in full color. You know, you see everything. It's beautifully done. I got to tell you, it's really nicely done. And what I love about it is that you give little tits and bits of information that kind of just enhances several points that you're trying to make. You talked about soil depletion. I mean, on page 56, you got a graphic showing that, you know, calcium was down 48% within the 80 years time span. Calcium's down 48%, phosphorus 85%. My goodness.
I know.
Iron 96. I mean, it's just incredible. And that's just one thing, one facet.
We like to point out in the book, like, the old adage, an apple a day keeps the doctor away, is just an old adage now. It doesn't even ring true anymore, because the apple of today is not the apple of 80 years ago, like you were saying. Right. It has 96% less iron and 50% less calcium. I mean, that's crazy loss.
That is crazy. I don't even know how. I guess I'll ask you what we can do about it later. But, you know, I guess if you did find, let's say, if you were to find the perfect food that was full of nutrients, you grew your own food and you picked it out of the garden, you ate it. Okay, everything is fine and dandy. But you also state in the book, what's interesting is that there are other things that rob your body of nutrients. There's things that you do that you can do that literally can rob nutrients from your body. Can you share some of those with us?
Right. So what we've talked about so far is kind of the first layer. We're taking in foods that have been stripped of our micronutrients. And so when we really want to start talking about the idea of micronutrient deficiency, and that being the condition that basically the USDA has established that 90% of Americans are deficient in their vitamins and minerals. So the first layer of that is by eating foods that contain naked calories. Now, what you're talking about is the second layer. So, you know, we get a lot of these people who say, well, wait a minute now, I've taken in X amount of nutrients. Mm-hmm. Maybe I've gotten my 1,000 milligrams of calcium or whatever it might be, and they calculate. But what they forget to do is then calculate that second level. So let's say we're drinking alcohol. Let's say we're exercising frequently, which we recommend people do. Mm-hmm. Let's say we are, what's another one?
Take a prescription medication.
Taking prescription medication. So these are what we call everyday lifestyle habits where that can further rob us or deplete us of those micronutrients that we thought were in the bank when we consume them. But we have to take those into account when we're really looking at the overall picture.
So, I mean, how does – one thing intrigued me, you know, you said exercise can rob us of nutrients. I mean, this is something that's good for your body.
Right.
How does that deplete your body of nutrients?
Well, there are some things that are healthy habits that we don't want people to get the wrong idea, that we're not telling you to get rid of them. And exercise is one of them. But in order to do the exercise, you have to utilize extra micronutrients. Your body is working harder. And then not only that, after you exercise, your body needs more micronutrients because it has that normal breakdown that happens to your body when you exercise.
You know, we've all seen the commercial for Gatorade, and it says, you know, after you exercise, we burn out all of our electrolytes, meaning potassium and sodium, but we also burn out things like zinc and magnesium and all the other micronutrients get utilized. And iron, you know, if you work out X amount of hours per week, you know, people who work out quite often are typically iron deficient. And so along with burning calories, we're also burning, or maybe better said, utilizing those essential micronutrients that are keeping us healthy.
Now, you in the book talk about also about getting produce or fruits and vegetables that are, you mentioned something about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15.
Okay. Rules to live by, yes.
Yeah, can you tell us a little bit about what is the dirt? You don't have to list all of them or state all of them, but what's the concept between the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15?
Well, it's, first of all, it's the Environmental Working Group comes out with this list every single year. And what they do is they tell you which are the Dirty Dozen, or the 12 foods that are highest in pesticides residue. So they study all the different vegetables and fruits, and they come up with this Dirty Dozen. The Clean 15, on the other hand, are the cleanest 15 foods that hardly ever have pesticide residue or don't have any. Those are the ones where you should really save your money, and you can just buy those regular in a regular grocery store, because those have been shown not to have a lot of pesticides. The Dirty Dozen, on the other hand, you really want to make sure you're getting organic, because those are the fruits and vegetables that are known to just be covered in pesticides.
Right. So just to kind of give an example, the top Dirty Dozen. First, foods you'd never want to, you know, you always want to buy organic when possible. So the apple is right at the top of the list. Celery, strawberries, peaches, spinach, nectarines, and grape. Those are the top seven.
Interesting.
But it's a lot of things that have soft skin, and you'll notice a lot of the time. And unfortunately, it's a lot of things that parents give to their kids as snacks.
Right. I mean, my goodness, an apple. I mean, you would think, you know, it's pretty safe, right? I mean, because it's just so common and so readily available. You know, it's so American, I guess. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. Back to that old adage.
Right. Yeah. You just don't associate it. Because in my mind, I'm thinking, okay, usually produce that's, you know, flown in out of the country or brought in out of the country, imported, those are going to be full of pesticides because it's just, you know, it's from over there. But it's amazing to hear, you know, something like apples to be high in pesticides.
Yeah. I mean, according to the Environmental Working Group, who study this every single year, they are the number one food that you should buy organically.
Wow. Now, in the book, you also mention a correlation between obesity and micronutrient deficiency. Why don't you tell us, you know, because obesity is such a huge problem, you know, in this country. And it's not just this country, but it's like a worldwide epidemic. So what's the correlation between micronutrient deficiency and obesity?
Well, I'll take this one. This has been something kind of near and dear to my heart. I've been working with clients for over 20 years and kind of started in the trenches with working with, you know, people who were looking to lose weight and wanted to find a better diet. And so, you know, when we talk about micronutrient deficiency being kind of the center or being a causative effect of all these lifestyle diseases, really, obesity is no different. In fact, in a study that was done not so long ago, they found that when they looked at it, they found an 80.8% greater chance of being overweight or obese if you're micronutrient deficient. Now, this is something that is just not out there, you know, and I think this is something we really wanted to push in the book. It's good news in a way because it means that by becoming micronutrient sufficient, you have an 80.8% greater chance of having a healthy weight.
I mean, that's a huge number. I got to tell you, Jason, that's huge. And I apologize about the phone ring in the background. 88%?
88% greater chance of being overweight or obese.
Now, there's another study that's kind of interesting. Also, women who are just deficient in just one vitamin, vitamin D, they were on average 16 pounds heavier than women who are sufficient in vitamin D.
Wow. I mean,
nutrient.
Okay. So I get it. So you really don't want to be, you don't want to have ingest any naked calories. What if I didn't want to eat foods that were rich in micronutrients and I just eat whatever and I start taking vitamins to fill in the gap? I mean, would that work?
Well, you know, it really defines what you mean by work. You know, is eating a bad diet, you know, your standard American diet and taking a vitamin better than eating the standard American diet and not taking a vitamin? Yes. In my opinion, the answer would be yes to that. But is that optimal? No. I mean, first and foremost, we always tell people, get your food in first. Find the foods with the highest micronutrients and try to put as many of those into your diet as your dietary philosophy allows you. So if you're a vegan or a vegetarian, obviously you're not going to be able to eat the same foods as somebody who's a paleo or a low carb or a low fat person. But whatever your dietary philosophy is, we all have one kind of thing in common, and that's we should all be looking for foods that are highest in their micronutrient value, because healthy really means highest in micronutrients. When we say, oh, I have a freshly squeezed orange juice. Well, why is freshly squeezed orange juice any better than the kind that comes, you know, in a container at the grocery store? It's because it's fresh, which means it has more micronutrients. That's what we were talking about. Over time, those micronutrients are depleted. So we always think that we should have the most micronutrient-rich foods first. Then we say, then examine that second step that you brought up. Let's now examine those lifestyle habits. If I find myself drinking alcohol often, or if I find myself exercising often or taking those prescription over-the-counter medications, then I'm going to have to become aware of the fact that maybe supplementation would be good for me. And we do recommend that people who don't eat a perfect diet and don't have a perfect lifestyle supplement with a properly formulated multivitamin.
Now, how many, if you had to put a number out there, how many of – the American population are micronutrient deficient?
Well, according to the USDA, 90%. According to Dr. Oz, he just did a just talking about a study where 3 million with 3 million individuals, and they said 99%.
Wow!
So pretty much everyone listening to your show right now has a really good chance of being deficient in micronutrients.
Yeah, in fact, the UK just did a study, and they looked at people. They were examined, I think, about 1 million people looking at micronutrient deficiency, and they determined that every person that they looked at was at risk for micronutrient deficiency to some extent.
Wow, that's amazing. I mean, so no, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, what I was going to say is, okay, so if this is something that affects, you know, 90% or above 90% of the population, how would I know if I'm micro? What are the signs that would let me know that I'm micronutrient deficient? How would I know?
Well, this is first of all, you know, with 99% of the population having any condition, we call this an epidemic. And in fact, you know, we'll go back a little bit more into this later. But in fact, as we've studied, we've traveled around the world, and that's something else that we did. We traveled around the world for 6 years to over 100 countries on all 7 continents to study diet and lifestyle. And our what we found is that there's a micronutrient deficiency pandemic literally going on. Now you ask, if this is really happening, why aren't I feeling it? And the answer comes to what we call, we have something in the book called the house of optimal health. And so we'll just kind of go into it slightly. So when you have a slight deficiency, and when we say you're deficient in your essential micronutrients, we don't necessarily mean that you're deficient to the extent where you're going to get a disease like scurvy, let's say, mm-hmm. or rickets, right? So that's an extreme deficiency. So slight deficiencies can manifest themselves in things like headaches. Maybe you're not sleeping very well. Maybe you get agitated quickly. Maybe you feel stress a little bit more than you should. And so we call these, when you have a small deficiency, we kind of equate it to small holes in your house of optimal health, if you will. Now, some deficiencies can become greater if we really have a bad diet, if we skip meals, maybe have a chronic alcohol problem, or we take a lot of prescription medications, we have all these factors happening, then these can become larger holes in our house of optimal health. And those can manifest themselves in things like high blood pressure, heart disease.
Osteoporosis.
Osteoporosis, like in Mira's case, even cancer.
Wow. Yeah, I also saw that you mentioned in the book things like depression, things obviously like heart disease and all these different diseases that are so common that we use drugs to treat, but we can prevent or even reverse just by getting the right nutrients. I mean, that to me is just incredible.
Well, for every single micronutrient that you see on the back of a multivitamin, you know, all your vitamins and your minerals, there is a specific function in the body that one is supposed to be doing. And there's also going to be an illness that's going to occur if you're not getting enough of that specific one. And so basically it comes down to, we just don't want to tell you just to take one thing or another. Like, don't say I have depression, so I'm just going to take D. What it comes down to is, they work so much together that you really want to make sure they're sufficient in all of them, all of the time. So a good broad spectrum base of having strong micronutrient deficiency is what you really, really want.
So really, there's a synergistic effect when you have the micronutrients working together. You have a much more powerful effect than is that what you mean?
Absolutely. We actually talk about synergy in the book. So you came up with one of the words we use in the book. We have micronutrient synergies. And so we say that they're like people like Fred Astaire and Ginger Rogers. So, you know, they each dance pretty nicely. But when you put them together, like, really incredible.
Right.
Or so there's those certain micronutrients that really burst each other's capabilities, and that they also rely on each other in order to do their job. So that can happen both ways. Either one helps the transport of the other one and the utilization in the body, or one just superpowers the other one. So that's how the synergies work.
Well, let me ask you this. How about the medical community? I mean, typically doctors don't embrace, you know, they'll say, you know, vitamins, they don't work, they don't fix anything. I mean, what do you have to say about that, about their take on nutrients overall in helping people feel better and help them with any type of disease.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's an interesting kind of thing that's happening, and I'm glad you asked that question because, you know, we think that sometimes, but then when you look at things like the DASH diet, are you familiar with the DASH diet?
No.
This is a diet that's been out now for, I don't know, maybe 10 years or so. It's recommended by our government, by the Mayo Clinic, by every top, by Harvard and by Cleveland Clinic. And what it is it's a book that talks about how to reverse high blood pressure or hypertension naturally with micronutrients. They say in the book, and it's written by a team of like over 50 major medical doctors, and again, endorsed by all these major hospitals and government organizations, that you can reverse and prevent high blood pressure or hypertension by just becoming sufficient in calcium, magnesium, and potassium. That's it. Hmm. And this is out there for everybody to read. Now, then you get your other side saying, oh, my goodness, this micronutrient thing, vitamins don't work. Well, I'm going to tell you why vitamins don't work. Because of something that you're going to hear a lot more about, and it's called micronutrient competition. What that is, like Mira was talking about with synergies, there is an opposite effect that goes on as well. And so when you start to dig into the literature, you'll start to see this word, instead of calling it micronutrient competitions, scientific literature calls it micronutrient interactions. We decided to call it micronutrient competition because it helps the individual picture a battle kind of ensuing in the multivitamin. But for each synergy that there is in the multivitamin, there's also a competition for receptor sites. So for example, vitamin A and vitamin D both compete for receptors for the same receptor site. So what happens is when we take it in a typical multivitamin and both are present, one hits the receptor site and the other is blocked. It can't get in. Now, there's a lot of these competitions. Zinc and copper are competitive. Iron is competitive with almost 10 different micronutrients. And the list goes on and on. There's 48 micronutrient competitions in a typical multivitamin. And so a lot of times what happens in these medical studies is the multivitamin companies, they take, 30, 35 different micronutrients and they throw them together in a pill, just like the original prototype of the multivitamin was formulated, 80 years ago. And they say, okay, well, there you go. You've got this all-in-one formula. Just take an all-in-one pill. But they don't work like that. You have to understand micronutrient competition, and science is starting to understand this. They're starting to realize that certain micronutrients compete with each other, but the multivitamin companies haven't caught up yet.
Wow. I got to tell you, I really do smell supplements down the road for you guys. I think, are you guys working on something like that?
Well, we are working on one. I mean, we've been working on one actually for about the last 7 years since Mira's condition was fully reversed, and we realized that micronutrient competition played a hand in it.
Yeah, when it came down to it, when I was trying to reverse my disease, I was taking, Jason and I were doing all this research. We started looking in the back of these studies and it would say, well, this competes with that. We're like, oh God, okay, so I have to take another handful at a different time of day. And we had it to the end there that I was 8 times a day in different little mounds of vitamins and minerals, separating out all the different things to get rid of this micronutrient competition. So yes, we have now been formulating since that happened, reading every study that comes out on, looking in the back end of it to see if there's any competitions mentioned. And yes, formulation is definitely something that we're doing.
I think, yeah, absolutely. I think you guys are definitely the right candidates for coming out with a really stellar product. So,
thank you. I hope so.
So you also mentioned about taking vitamins, about timing it. In other words, not taking your vitamins all at once. Why is that? I know you talked about the competition, but is it because of that or is it something else?
Well, we actually, on our website, people can find out more about exactly what we're talking about in what we call the ABCs of optimal supplementation. So we talked about the C part of that equation, which was the competition, and we talked about the S, which was the synergy. But there's two others, the A and the B. The A stands for absorption, And the B stands for beneficial quantities. And so you're talking about absorption. And we do recommend that people take their take micronutrients in the multivitamin form at least twice a day. It may be more than that. And that comes from the competitions on one hand, but it also comes from water solubility and just our body's ability to absorb nutrients on another. So, you know, many of the micronutrients, you know, all of them except for the fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, are what's called water-soluble, and which means they go in and they're cleared out of our system in about 12 hours. So we always recommend people take, you know, half of their multivitamin in the morning and the other half at night so that you have an opportunity to make sure that your body has kind of a constant supply of these water-soluble vitamins. And then the other factor is there's certain minerals like calcium that the body can only absorb a certain amount of. For example, studies have shown that you really can't absorb more than 600 milligrams of calcium at any given time. But we need, the recommended daily intake on that is 1,000 milligrams. So by taking calcium at separate times, you'd be able to absorb all of the calcium that you need. You can't just take 1,000 because you're only going to absorb 600 of it.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense. Okay, I know we've kind of been all over the place and we just touched upon a little bit of everything. But if I'm listening to this show and I just heard about your book, I'm very interested and I want to buy a copy and I'm worried to death about being micro deficient, what steps can I take right now to reverse that condition?
Well, first of all, we would really recommend that who's ever listened to this probably go to the website, cultnutrition.com, and take the micronutrient sufficiency profile quiz. It's free, 50 questions, just very easy questions about your lifestyle and your dietary habits. And it gives you a quick snapshot as to the likelihood of whether or not you are micronutrient deficient. So that's the first step, because you know if you don't know if it's broken, why are you going to go fix it?
Right.
So once you get that snapshot, then the next thing to do is to follow those three steps that we were talking about before, which is obviously read the book is the first step. Mm-hmm. Then obviously increase your micronutrient intake, which would give you all the guidelines about how to find more micronutrient-rich foods, and then reduce those lifestyle habits that we talked about, and then also to, you know, take a supplement according to the ABCs of optimal supplementation.
Okay.
It's really an easy three-step plan, you know? I mean, it sounds simplistic, but there's a lot of things that go into finding which foods have the highest micronutrient value and finding out how many micronutrients we need and just how much those lifestyle habits are robbing us, and then how to choose a multivitamin. At the end of the day, our ultimate goal with this first book is to help people understand that there is a micronutrient deficiency epidemic going on, that the ultimate goal should be to create a micronutrient sufficient state in ourselves so that we can live a healthy life. So we don't have to worry about getting the hypertension, and we don't have to worry about being one of those 80.8% people out there who may be at greater likelihood of becoming overweight or obese because of micronutrient deficiency. And if you can create micronutrient sufficiency in your life, you've taken that first step towards optimal health.
Is there a danger of taking in too much micronutrients?
Well, absolutely. There's danger in that. I mean, you know, first and foremost, you know, when you look at the ABCs of optimal supplementation under beneficial quantities, we talk about we're only really looking at a multivitamin with just 100% of the RDI. We're not big fans of mega vitamins. You know, we don't need 5,000, you know, percent of this and 2,000% of that. If you learn, and a lot of multivitamins, you know, in the past have had to do that because of those micronutrient competitions that take place within them. So they've had to put so much in order for your body to actually absorb any of it. When you take out the competition, you don't need very much because it goes in automatically.
Also, if you start to realize that the multivitamins have this dance of synergy and competition, you'll realize it's really bad for you to take something that's a mega dose because you don't know what it's blocking. I mean, it has such a great effect over all the other, you know, things in that multivitamin that you're really doing yourself more harm than good by taking something with those higher levels.
No, that makes a lot of sense. I mean, you basically have everything spelled out in the book. So I would highly recommend everyone that's listening to pick up a copy of Naked Calories. Now, you did mention a website. It's cultnutrition.com, correct?
That's right.
And they can find it. Where can they get this book?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble. They can get Books it on Million. Our website if they want. Yeah, it's available everywhere.
Got it.
So it's on Kindle and Nook as well.
Awesome. Well, there you have it, folks. Naked Calories with Mira Calton and Jason Calton. The super nutrient superheroes, I guess. I'm trying to come up with something clever.
One other quick thing I just want to mention. We have an Enter the Naked Calories Travel the World sweepstakes going on, which I think would really interest your listeners. Basically, one lucky person is going to win a 10-day cruise for two on the world's largest mega yacht, valued at $20,000. $500 a day to spend on food and beverage on the ship. And it's really going to be an amazing trip for two. So
we're giving it away at the end of March. So all you have to do is, you know, pick up a copy of Naked Calories, go to the website, fill out the form online and submit it. And you'll have a very good chance of winning an unbelievable cruise. Yeah.
Wow. No, I see this on the cover. That's actually pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we traveled around a lot. We figured somebody else should have the same opportunity.
Very nice. Well, thank you so much, you guys. Thank you for joining us. And you know what? If you don't mind, I'd love to invite you back sometime in the future.
Yeah, I'd love that.
And if you come up with any other follow-up books or any other...
Two more on the works.
Yeah. Oh, really?
We have another one coming out in August called Rich Food, Poor Food.
Nice. Okay.
That's the next one to look for.
Oh, great, great. So you're definitely going to have to come back and talk to us about that. So, yeah. Well, thank you so much, you guys. It was such a pleasure to have you. And thank you so much for sharing this information in your book with our listeners. Thank you so much.
It was our pleasure. Thanks, Dan.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Beyond Diet Podcast. Send us your questions, comments, or show ideas by visiting beyonddietpodcast.com or leave us a voicemail at 1-888-292-6679. Thanks again for listening and join us next time. Just like you, we've been waiting for so long for some